were raised in Sunday school, I have no doubt that at some point in time, you heard the story of Moses and the burning bush. In fact, this account of this event in the life of Moses is really paid tribute to in a lot of songs. And we talk about standing on holy ground. And I think perhaps this is the first place in the Scriptures that we hear a reference of standing on holy ground, and where that the Lord told him to take his shoes off, but the ground whereon he stood was holy ground. But we see that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame, and I believe that this was a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. At least it was a theophany, if not a Christophany, where God Himself, as recorded here by the angel of the Lord, was speaking to Moses. And really, in fact, we know from the narrative that it was God who was speaking unto him. And so here we find that the Lord was speaking unto Moses out of the burning bush. Now, I want to bring you a simple message tonight entitled, An Ordinary Bush and an Extraordinary God. An ordinary bush and an extraordinary God. You see, here we find the Lord using a bush to communicate His message to a man. And here we find a man talking to a bush, telling God why he could never be used of God. And I believe that we can see in the Word of God here tonight the excuses that Moses gave as to why God could never use him to be the deliverer of God's people. And if we're not careful, we'll discover that the excuses that Moses gave unto the Lord as to why he may never be used are the very same reasons why we think that we may be never be used of the Lord. And I believe tonight that there are several things that Moses said that we must look at and consider in our own lives and see if these are not the things that we're using to hold back in our commitments to the Lord, to limit our vision for God, and to somehow hinder the work of God because we're telling God what He can and cannot do with our lives. Somehow our preconceived ideas about what God uses or whom God chooses to use are the things that we're putting up to the Lord God as to why He may never use us. And we find that many of the very same things were the things that Moses gave to the Lord. And in chapter 3, we find where that in verse 11, Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And herein we find the first thing that Moses told to the Lord as to why he could not be used to deliver the people of God from the bondage in Egypt. He said, God, number one, you can't use me because I lack the capacity. I just simply can't do it. You know, there are a lot of folks tonight that think, well, you know, I teach a class, but I just can't teach. I work in the bus ministry, but I just don't have a driver's license. I don't know what to do. I would do something in the work of the Lord, but I can't do anything. And whenever I try to do anything, I just can't seem to get it right. I lack the capacity. I want to tell you something tonight. The Lord is not looking for a tree that stands tall like the redwood and stalwart like the sequoia. God is looking for an ordinary bush. He's not looking for the biggest tree. He's not looking for the prettiest tree. He's not looking for an evergreen tree. He's not looking for a Christmas tree. What God is looking for is someone that would say, you know, I'm just a regular old bush. But you know what, God? Even though in my flesh I think I lack the capacity. God, if you want me to catch fire for you and you just want to talk through me, God, I'm an ordinary bush, but I'll let an extraordinary God do with an ordinary bush whatever he wants to do. You see, here's Moses standing in front of a bush and telling a bush that's talking to him, God, you can't use me. If God can use a bush, my friend, I believe that he can use you, don't you? He said, I lack the capacity. Amen. I can't do it. Folks, there's somebody here tonight that's saying, I can't do it, preacher. Lord, I can't do it. I can't serve you. You know, it's way beyond the scope of my ability or training. I can't do it. I lack the capacity. My, isn't it amazing that the man that God used to deliver the people of Israel more than a million strong and lead them for 40 years, that God called one of the most humble men ever, said, I can't do it. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Apart from God, you know what we can do? Nothing. So, in one sense, Moses was right. You know, I can remember 9 years ago. 9 years ago, in March, Linda and I came to Freeway Baptist Church. And we stood in the fellowship hall, and there was about 25 adult people that gathered around for a little luncheon. And they asked us questions. And one of the things that was asked of me is, well, Brother Mark, do you think you have what it takes to be the pastor of Freeway Baptist Church? You know, and I had a staff that was bigger than the folks gathered at the lunch for 10 years. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I taught a Sunday school class that was bigger than the whole church put together. And this was about the size of my Sunday school class that I taught every Sunday morning. That was one of 13 adult Sunday school classes. And but they said, do you think you have what it takes to be the pastor of the Freeway Baptist Church? And you know what I said? No, I don't. And anybody that thinks that they do is not who you need. Because the Bible says, without me, you can do nothing. But you know, I'm going to tell you something. Even though we recognize apart from God, I can do nothing, we know this, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And who are we to tell an extraordinary God what He can and cannot do? You see, God called Moses. And Moses is like, you got the wrong guy, God. I can't do it. I lack the capacity. The Lord said, you know what? Look at what you're talking to here, Buster. You're talking to a bush. And you tell me that I can't use you? An ordinary bush. And an extraordinary God. Not only that, we find where that in verse 15, God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. You know what? Moses came to the Lord and stood before that bush, and first he said, you know what, I lack the capacity, Lord. But then you know what he said? Lord, I lack the message. I don't know what to say. I don't know what in the world I'm going to say. I hear that from Christians all the time. They say, you know, I go out there on that door knocking. I go out there on that soul winning thing. But, you know, I'm scared to death. Someone will ask me that I don't have, ask me a question I don't have the answer to. I don't know what I will say. Folks, let me tell you something. That's the greatest way to learn your Bible, is to have people stumping you. You know, how else are you going to learn it? You know, if you want to know what's relevant to learn, go out there and knock on somebody's door and let them ask you a question that you don't have the answer for, and you be honest with yourself and with God and with them. And you know, sometimes what we have to say is, you know, that's a great question that I don't have an answer for, but I'm going to go discover what that answer is, and I'll come back and get back with you. Amen? And you know what? The next time you knock on a door, you're going to be ready for that one. You know what you've done? You've added that to the storehouse of your knowledge because you have been put to the test. And when you found that you were lacking that area, you went back to God and said, God, give me the answer. And you know what I find here? The second reason that Moses gave to the Lord is this. I lack the message. I don't know what to say. Not only do I lack the capacity, I can't do it, but he said, I lack the message. What will I say? And you know, God through the bush is talking back to him, and he's saying, look, here's what I want you to do. And God is not looking for the smartest tree in the forest. God is not looking for the prettiest and most articulate tree in the forest. God is looking for a bush that would be willing to catch fire for God and let God do the talking through him. You see, what God said was this. Listen, Moses, I will tell you what to say. Thus shalt thou say, he said in verse number 15. You know what? God gave him the words to say. You know, I'm going to tell you something. There have been many times where I've been in a situation and where that someone came in the office or I was dealing with somebody out in the streets and they put something on me. And you know, I wasn't prepared. I wasn't in the study cracking the books and trying to get ready for some impromptu extemporaneous exchange. And you know what? Right at the moment that I needed, I discovered that God gave me what he wanted me to say. And it was by His Holy Spirit and by something that I'd studied or read that God gave me or that I heard, and God would bring it to my recall. And there have been times where I thought just standing on my own, you know, I don't know what to say. This is a difficult situation. And yet God simply says, look, I'm not looking for the most eloquent tree in the forest. What I'm looking for is just a common, everyday, ordinary bush that would be willing to catch on fire for me, and I will do the talking through you. I'll tell you what to say. You know what? I believe that. When you surrender your life and say, God, you know what? Not my will, but thy will be done, Brother Tom. And I'm willing to go. And God, I'm willing to be used of you. This bush isn't much, but I'll give you this ordinary bush. God will allow you to ignite, be the light of the world that he's called you to be. And then what he will do is he will speak through you. I believe tonight that there's some people in this room that are saying, you know, I would get more involved, but I'm not all that smart. I don't know that much about the Bible. Do you know what? Listen, I believe that if we just determine to go and be faithful, that God will give us the words to speak. Here the Lord said, thus shalt thou say. Not only that, we find in verse number 13, Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say unto them, they shall say to me, what is thy name? What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. You know what really Moses was saying here? He was saying, God, I lack the authority. I don't have any special pedigree. I don't have any special commissioning. But who am I going to tell them has sent me unto them? And what God says is, tell them that I am hath sent thee. I'm all the authority that you need. There's somebody here tonight that was just saying, you know, I'd go into the work of the Lord, but I don't have a Bible college diploma. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I went to Rojas City in the Philippines, and I went to a church, and they probably had several hundred people there on a Sunday morning, and the pastor that was there has been the pastor of that church for 21 years. Guess what, my friend? He never went to school past the third grade. He went to four Bible colleges and tried to get in, and they wouldn't accept him. Finally, one Bible college took pity on him and tutored him and helped him get through to get a basic Bible literacy program in him. And he just went out and began serving the Lord. And you know what? God's used him to bring tens of thousands of people to Jesus Christ. And he said, Pastor Chapel, for 7 years, we have not failed to baptize someone every single Sunday for 7 years in a row, not missed a single Sunday. And they've got a Bible college and they've got a Christian school. school, and God's using that ministry in a great way throughout the Philippines. A man who had a third grade education. A man who was a recovering dope addict that God called into the work of the Lord. A homeless man who was sleeping in a cardboard box and in Manila. And God put His hand upon him and called him. And he decided, I'm going to be used of the Lord. And God, I'm not the most eloquent. And God, I don't have any authority. I don't have a pedigree. But God, You're not looking for the brightest tree in the forest. You're just looking for an ordinary bush that will be yielded to You, that will be willing to catch fire. Fire for You. And God, You said You'd talk through that bush. And so, Lord, if You'll use this bush, I surrender it to You. Amen. I want to tell you tonight that Moses said, I lack the capacity. I can't do it. And he said, I lack the message. I don't know what to say. God told him, listen, I'll give you the words to say, thus shalt thou say. But then he said, I lack the authority. Who am I going to say has sent me? I don't have any special charge or commission. And God said, listen, you don't need any higher authority than the authority of Almighty God Himself. I think about Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who for a generation, several generations has been called the Prince of Preachers, who was never ordained. You know why? He said the ordination of God is higher than the ordination of man. And that is all the ordination that I need. He refused to accept a license as a state licensed preacher in England because he said, I answer to God and not the King of England. And my friend, I want to tell you there's no higher authority than the authority of God Almighty. You want to know? Moses said, I lack the authority. Not only that, let's look in chapter 4, because Moses, in chapter 4 and verse number 10, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. He was looking for somebody else. And herein we find the fourth reason that he said that he could not be used. He said, God, I lack the capacity. I can't do it. God, I lack the message. I'm not sure I can do it. God, I lack the authority. And then he said, God, I lack the eloquence. I'm not a silver-tongued orator. And you know what? Who of us is? You know, the truth of the matter is, I don't fancy myself a silver-tongued orator. I just get up there and just kind of let fly and holler and spit and sweat and stomp and stammer. And the truth is, he was saying, God, I don't have the gift of gab. God, I wasn't the best preacher boy in my graduating class. God, I am not eloquent. And he said it clearly. He said, I am not eloquent. I can't talk. As he sat with his shoes off in front of a talking bush, he said, I can't talk. When was the last time you saw a talking bush? You know? Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Many of you that say, I can't talk, I'm not eloquent, you're far more gifted than you think. Some of you just never shut up. we just talk all the time. You know, we ought to just say, let's talk about Jesus more and more. But he said, I lack the eloquence. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. God is not looking for the most eloquent tree in the forest. He's looking for an ordinary bush that says, I didn't get an A+ in speech class or in public speaking. I didn't win the Preacher Boys Award in Bible college. I'm just an ordinary bush. But God, if you want me to catch fire for you, I'll let you talk through me. And the Lord said, I'll do the talking for you. If I can talk through a bush, I believe that I can use you. You know, I'm going to tell you that what we need to do is just go. We just need to go. and preach the gospel to every creature. You say, I don't know what to say. Give them your testimony. Tell them what God did for you. Amen. How many of you have a testimony? How many of you know that God did something special for you and in your life? Tell them what God did for you. You may not be able to give them something about the hypostatic union. You may not be able to clearly articulate why you believe in the Trinity, although you believe it by faith because God said it. But what I want to say to you, my friend, is this. Why don't you tell them about the miraculous change that God effected in your life? God's not looking for a sequoia. He's not looking for a redwood. He's not looking for an oak or a maple. He's just looking for a bush. A common, ordinary bush that He can ignite for His cause, that He might be able to speak through. And we stand in front of bushes, or we sit before bushes that God is trying to use to communicate to us. And we tell Him why we may never be used of Him. I'm saying to you tonight that Moses said, I don't have the gift of gab, Lord. You probably could use somebody else better than me. Do you know what? Listen, if God wanted to have used someone else, He would have called somebody else. But He chose Moses. And I'm going to say that the Bible says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. God picked you, my friend. You know, I'm going to say that God chose us, and so many of us have our head down. We're walking past burning bushes all the time. We fail to see and recollect that everywhere our foot touches is holy ground. Not just in front of the burning bush, because God wants to speak to us and through us all the time, but we're so totally unaware of it because we're so wrapped up in our own little worlds and in our problems that we fail to answer the call that God has given to us, the chosen, to go and free the captive. I'm saying to you that Moses had a boatload of excuses that he put up to the Lord, and we've got them too. I want us to notice in verse 19, spilled all over myself. The Lord said unto Moses and Midian, go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. Why did they seek the life of Moses? Well, you know the story, or you saw the movie, or better yet, you read the book. You know that there were some Egyptians that were persecuting the people of God, and Moses saw that scenario, and he went down and slew the Egyptian man. He killed him. And then he buried him in the sand. And then there were folks that got word of it, and Pharaoh found out about it, and so Pharaoh sought to slay Moses. Why? Because Moses was a murderer. He killed a man. You know, the Lord was taking that excuse away from him here. And herein we find the fifth excuse that Moses gave as to why God may never use him. He said, God, I lack the fitness. I'm not fit to be used of Thee. You don't know what I've done, God. Yes, He had. The Lord said, the men that are seeking your life, they're now dead. It's okay for you to go back. I understand that you're holding fast to the old baggage. You're saying, but I'm a murderer. You know, what you don't understand, God, is that a murderer can never be used of the Lord. I've got baggage. I lack the fitness. I'm a murderer, God. God can never use me. It seems to me like the Apostle Paul had that excuse at some point in time, and yet the Lord chose to use him. He said unto me, who is the least of all the saints, is this grace given to preach the gospel among the Gentiles. You see, friends, we need to recognize this, that God can use whom He chooses. And fitness is not what God uses. God uses a surrendered bush. I'm going to tell you something. God's not looking for the tree in the forest with the straightest limbs. I don't know about you, but I've been around a bush or two. How many of you have ever been around a bush or two? I'm telling you, I've been around some scrub brush and some scrub oaks and some bushes, and I've been tangled up in them, crawled around in them, been hunting in them. And I'm going to tell you something about every limb on a bush, as crooked as it can be. None of them grow straight out like that. You know that? Most of them are crooked. But I'm going to tell you this, my friend, that many times throughout the ages of history, God has chosen to take a crooked limb and draw a straight line in the sand. And I'm going to tell you something. You may be sitting there telling God that I've got some crooked limbs on this bush. And God, you can't use me because I've got some skeletons rattling around in my closet. And because I've got a past that I'm not proud of. Who doesn't? Who doesn't? Anybody want to stand up here and say, hey, everybody come take a close look in my closet. It's squeaky clean. I don't think there's anybody that wants to stand up tonight and say, you can check out my closets. I'm really fit for the ministry. You know, listen, God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called, and He's called you. And if He's called you, He'll equip you. And so stop telling God what He can and cannot do with you. Say, I lack the fitness. I'm telling you, He said, I've been a murderer. I've got these crooked limbs. God's saying, from a bush, I'm using a crooked bush to communicate a message to you. I'm not looking for a tree with straight limbs. I'm looking for a crooked bush who'll just catch fire for me and let me talk through that bush. Would that possibly be you? You got a history? You got things in your life you're not proud of? You got a DUI? Got a criminal background? You've got some things that you're not proud of? You've got some things on your FICO score, that your credit report you're not proud of? You've got a litany of failed relationships? Have you had some chemical dependency? And you're saying, God could never use me. God's not looking for a sequoia tonight. God's looking for a bush, maybe with some crooked limbs. He'll use you to draw a straight line in the sand. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. I lack the fitness, God. Quit telling God what He can and can't do. You're not God. I want to just say this. In chapter 4, verse 1, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. He said, God, you've never talked to me like this before. It's never happened like this before. They've never heard me tell them anything you've said before. And so, God, I could never be used by you because, number six, I lack the prior success. I don't have a track record of successes that people will use to lend my message credibility. And let me say this to you tonight. This is no excuse. This is no excuse. You know, folks, they say, well, I never taught a Sunday school class and I never sang in the choir. What can I ever do? Listen, that's no excuse. You know, it may surprise you to know something. I used to sing all the time in church. Sometimes every week I'd sing in some service or other, some special deal, and sing in front of thousands of people. But you know, for years I never sang a single time. I sang in a quartet in high school in my school. And my dad heard me singing and he said, you ought to develop that a little bit. I never did. I worked and served the Lord and I moved to New England and was working in a church and the day I arrived at the pastor's office in Wallingford, Connecticut, I just walked in. He said, listen, I'm going to give you your job description, but he said, you're going to do this and that and the other thing. You're going to work with our teenagers and you'll probably help clean the buildings. You'll probably slop some paint and put up some wallpaper. You'll do anything and everything I need for you to do. You'll do some preaching and you will sing in the choir and you will sing specials and you're on the schedule for Wednesday night to sing a solo. And I had never sung a solo in my life except one time when I was 8 years old and I got scared away from doing it then. I stood up in a missions conference with a Hawaiian shirt on because we had a missionary from Hawaii that brought it to me, and I sang, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." That was the end of my short-lived musical career. But you know what? For years I just thought, I'm not a singer. That's not what God gifted me to do. I'm insecure when I stand up and sing. But you know what? I said, well, God called me to be a preacher, not a singer. And I tell people, say, well, you know, I like your singing. I say, you know, I'm a preacher that also sings. I'm not a singer that preaches, you know. And so I'm not real comfortable in that venue, Brother Tom. But I'm telling you, I had to come to a place where I realized God chose me. And whenever God appointed me to something, I didn't need to stand there and give 14 reasons why God could never use me. You know what I did? I went over to the preacher's house and his wife schooled me, and there I practiced. I stood next to that piano for 7 hours practicing to sing one song on Wednesday night. I lacked the prior success. That is no excuse for anything. You know what God's looking for? A bush. Just an ordinary bush. That'll be put in the hand of an extraordinary God. That'll be willing to catch fire for Him. And He said, I'll do the work through you. And you know, I want you to see in chapter 2, we see where that Moses slew the Egyptian. And we see here in verse number 11, it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked down their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said unto him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. You know what? Listen, Moses thought, hey, I'm doing a good thing. I'm helping these folks. And the man that he thought he was trying to help turned around and said, you're going to kill me too? You're going to kill me like you killed that Egyptian man? You know, I think Moses thought they were going to embrace him and say, great job, you killed one of our oppressors. But they said, you're going to kill me too? And you see, he was a man without a country. His own people didn't even accept him. And here we find an excuse that Moses gave, and that was this: I lacked the previous acceptance. My own people didn't even accept me before. They rejected me even when I tried to be their helper. They said, you're going to kill me too. And now you want me to go back to those very same people? God, I can't go back to them. They didn't accept me then when I was trying to help them. What makes you think they're going to accept me now? God, I lacked the previous acceptance. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus came unto His own, and His own received Him. Not, they didn't accept the Lord either. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And I'm saying to you that God is not looking for a beautiful tree that everybody thinks is wonderful and wants to use. God is just looking for an ordinary bush that'll say, I'll catch fire for God and let Him talk through me. And you might say, I'm not that big tree, but God, if you use this ordinary bush, then I surrender it to you. If you tonight say, I lack the previous acceptance, here's what I say to that. This is the basis for nothing. This is the basis for nothing. Or as it says in the Hebrew, big, stinking, honking, hairy deal. So what? Big deal. They didn't like what you had to say before. God's saying, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to these people. You know what we do? Well, you know, you see, the thing is, God, and we tell God what He can and cannot do. RJ, you ever seen a bush out on the res? About a million of them. A billion of them, haven't you? Do you know what? I think if I was walking by and I saw one of them burning and it just kept burning and burning and burning, I might go over there too. Just look. Man, what's going on with this bush? And then if the bush started talking to me, it'd probably capture my attention. Would it yours? And then if I knew that it was God and I wrapped my face in a mantle because I'd seen the Lord and the Lord was talking to me out of the bush, I'm not really sure if I'd say, God, I can't talk, you can't use me, if I was talking to a bush. Folks, tonight, are you a bush? Just an ordinary bush? You may not be a sequoia or beautiful redwood. You may not be an evergreen. You'll never adorn someone's home at Christmas. You might have crooked limbs on you. Say, I've got a past. But would you trust that God could break off a crooked limb and use it to draw a straight line for His glory? Would you quit telling God what He can and can't do? Would you just let God take an ordinary bush and do with it whatever He wants to? Would you put your life in the hands of an extraordinary God? Say, Lord, I'll catch fire for You. And if You choose to speak through me, to God be the glory. I'm just an ordinary bush, but I've got an extraordinary God. Tonight's the night, henceforth, to stop telling God what He can't do with you and say, God, You can have this bush. Here's one bush that's willing to catch fire for You. God, here am I. Send me.